Oh, there he is. Tony in here. Tony and Mad Max here for a special Thursday podcast. As you all know, it's good to be back. And we actually have a special guest here today, Keenan, as we all know. Keenan, welcome to the show.
So it's good to be back.
You feel me? Yeah. You remember Tony back at the station at WSJU?
Monty's.
Absolutely. How are you, Monty's?
Man? Here we go.
Does anyone Monty's. Miss Monty's?
No, I haven't been to Monty's since last year, since, you know, we went to that class.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The video games class.
Mm-hmm. Monty's.
Monty's isn't that bad if you think about it. You just got to get the right stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you got to be smart. Like, you can't be reckless over there.
Yeah, I know. Like, you can't. Max, I know you're a chicken tender, you know.
Yeah, and French fries.
Yeah, but that's not it. I want to say this food's not bad. Like, sometimes I prefer that over my home-cooked food.
That's crazy. I don't think anyone would ever say that, that they prefer Monty's over their home-cooked food. Have you ever, would you say so, Pavetta? Probably not, right?
I'm absolutely not. I remember Max used to just get like a bowl of like peas, and that would be it. That's all he trusted was the peas.
Oh man, remember that night when we went in there? It was Beetle night, and they took all the
food away? They closed up everything, and like you couldn't even get a freaking waffle. They turned off all the machines. All the cereal was gone too.
And I just slammed the plate down.
Freaking raiders. But
I forget what I got. I think I just got like pizza or something like that. But you said like the pizza's like gross.
Yeah, and I used to have to put all the napkins on it because it was so greasy.
Is it pizza? From the sounds of it, it's not that good, right? I never had it.
It's good when you like degrease it. Like you put like five or six napkins on it.
Yeah, you have to do like paper towels, like the whole bounty roll to click it, to get that off.
Yeah, whole thing.
My God. But we have a lot to talk about today, Tony, and being the leader of the show here. What do you want to start off with? We have the debate that happened last week, the debate from last night. Then you have the Knicks rumors with Chris Paul. So many things going on. And the breaking news of Trump tweeting to liberate Michigan. And that whole fiasco.
Let's get all the politics out of the way.
All right, let's get into the politics. Let's start with the debate.
Yeah, the debate, yeah. Well, which debate you talking about?
Trump versus Biden.
Oh, that was a complete disaster. I mean, dude, like, that's such a shame. Like, for people that honestly are actually suffering right now, both those candidates gave absolutely nothing in terms of, like, a legitimate plan to try to help, like, people. And this is a real, like, indictment on this country in terms of, like, the election process. Candidates rarely showcase themselves and how they can actually help people have better lives. It's all about putting their opponent down. It's that's all it's about now. I mean, how could anybody feel better about things just after that debate? And I'll tell you this, that VP debate last night, I think it calmed some people down. There was a lot more substance last night than what we saw. It was what, last week? Or it was last week?
Last week, last Tuesday night.
Last Tuesday night. How could anybody make any determination? I mean, I get it. Like there's millions of people that are going to be voting for Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not the most exciting candidate, but he's, you know, he's getting a lot of clout, dude. And I personally don't take much stock in these debates, dude. We're not going to really know anything until election day. That's just from what we learned 4 years ago. The election day is the day where all bets are off. That's where the real certainty is.
And we have to tell Keenan, you have to tell Keenan about your theory of the Civil War that's going to happen as soon as Trump gets reelected.
I could believe in that too. Like, I feel like if Biden wins, he's going to refuse to get out of office or something. But Secret Service would have to get him out anyway because he's not the president anymore. But yeah.
I can see him sitting there and just be like, you have to take me out.
Dude, if you go down to Shelton, right, go down that road, you can see all Trump things, like signs and stuff. It's crazy. It looks like Alabama, I swear. No, I swear to God, go down the road. It's crazy.
It makes sense, dude. But I don't know. I told you, Max. I don't know how this ends clean.
It doesn't. For both sides, it doesn't end clean at all.
It does.
Both sides are just so opposite and polarizing of each other. It's just kind of like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's gonna end badly either way.
Man, oh man, but. You were saying about this tweet, Max, about Liberate Michigan.
Yep.
Like,
didn't
what do you mean?
Back in like April too.
I think he
about
he
the did. About the yeah, because they brought like the guns and stuff to the Capitol, right?
Yeah.
In Lansing.
There was what they call the white terrorists, the militia. They were there to kidnap the governor there in Michigan, and overthrow the government there.
Kidnap the governor. How far was that going to go?
I don't know. They had it planned out.
Oh, my goodness. No, this is a rallying cry. He's trying to, you know, boost up his support in those states. And he's doing rallies in states, in mostly swing states now. He's pretty much going to have to. And, like, this is just like a rallying ploy. Yeah. It's to get people, like, energized. Because his followers get really amped up when he starts posting shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
He's an instigator.
He's an instigator. Are we live on radio right now?
Yeah, we're live.
I swore. Oh, damn. Where's the dump button?
It's right next to the board on the left.
Someone press dump. It's only 20 seconds, I think. Yeah. But, like... I don't know, man.
I'm telling you, if Trump gets in again, democracy's dead.
Democracy's dead?
I think it is.
Well, I don't want to think like that.
I think it is. Like, from what you've like been seeing and just how he is, and his tweets just speak a lot about it. It's just, it's blatantly obvious that he really doesn't want democracy. He'd already pulled out of the second debate. He doesn't even want a debate. He thinks he won the last debate, and he was the worst part of the last debate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not saying much. They're both pretty bad. Even Chris Wallace is garbage. He was like pussified. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you can put a kindergarten teacher and she'll do 100 times better than him.
They got to do something with these debates, man. They got to
be honest. Like, most people know who they're voting for. It's mostly for his, like,
that's the thing. Keenan's right. But that's what – these debates are – we know these people. We're not learning anything. This is all for, like, entertainment.
Yeah.
You know? You know what I'm saying? November 3rd. And here's another big date that you guys got to like mark your calendars down for. October 28th. It's a Monday. They're going to start the proceedings in Congress to vote in the justice.
Oh, yeah.
Amy Coney Barrett. They're doing it literally like a week before the actual election. So, and they're going to try, and you know what they're going to do. They're going to try to speed this up as quick as possible. Get her in there.
Just kiss
Biden. Have her be sworn in. So, like, I'm telling you, like, the last week of October is going to be one of the most insane weeks in probably the history of this country. Because it's going to be 0 hour. For both campaigns, scrambling around the country, trying to do as many like campaign activities as possible, whether it's rallies, fundraisers, parades, whatever the hell it is, plus this Supreme Court justice thing, I mean, it's insane. It's going to be one of the most hectic weeks in the history of this country. Going into that final weekend, going into November, because the 3rd is a Tuesday. So that means that November 1st is going to be a Sunday. So brace for impact, man. It's coming. Yeah. It's already, what, the 8th of October? We have a couple more weeks. My goodness. But I got to tell you this, Max. Did you see that idiot, that scum, the guy that killed George Floyd, out on cash bail?
Yeah, I saw that.
How much was the bail? Like 150K?
No.
I'm pretty sure I was reading about it on Twitter.
Yeah, it was cash bail. I mean, I know that, you know, theories really don't really give you much like leeway, but do you honestly think that it was like his family that paid for his bail? Please.
Yeah.
There was a GoFundMe online.
I think someone had a GoFundMe for him.
Oh,
one of the officers.
Get him out of jail.
Yeah.
He's out walking the streets. This guy is out there. Now, of course, he can go back to jail because I think he's going to be put up on trial. But when he was detained and put into jail and was on bail, like, that's over. Now he's out walking the streets. He's basically a free man at this point.
He was safer in prison, if you think about it. You won't have
it right for him. A lot of people, I would not be out, like, you know, just going to like any old like Quick Check or something like that. Send somebody to go get you your like Mountain Dew for you.
Yeah.
Your Mountain Dew.
Send somebody else. Don't go there.
Yeah.
It's really bad. I'd rather be a Giants fan, to be honest.
Here we go.
Oh, he's what's back.
Up? Yeah, I'm back. Oh, you were still in the Zoom? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think yours was timed out. I think it was still live.
You didn't see me though, right?
No.
We just kept talking about the guy, Derek Chauvin, the scumbag.
But I'm telling you before it closed out, this guy's gonna have a target on his back. And I told you, I was listening to a few rapper interviews like a couple weeks ago, and they were just saying, I really don't understand how everyone was so shocked about the George Floyd thing, because we've been seeing unarmed African Americans killed on recording. Yep. Rodney King. I mean, we can name countless of others. Now they're surprised.
Yeah. It's mostly like the white people are,
yeah.
But it's been happening since forever. Like Jim Crow, like Emmett Till was killed. He's what, 12 years old?
Yeah,
over a lie, that's messed up.
Yeah, but Max, Keenan told me this when you were gone. $1 million bail. There's no way that was family. This guy must have had like a cult following, like online on one of those QAnon like websites.
White supremacist group funding it.
Because what family member is putting up $1 million?
Yeah. Because honestly, if he was my family, I wouldn't do that. He's a threat to society, you know. I don't know. Everyone has different moral judgment.
But
I don't know how family views it, because the family could have raised him to be that way. We really don't know.
I know. We may never know. But I want to do the Knicks and Jets to close out the show here. We got two big top. So let's do want to do Knicks or Jets?
Let's start with the Jets, because that's already official. Knicks, I think it'll take up some time because Keenan's a Knicks fan as well, and we're gonna have our thoughts on what they can do. The Jets is already solidified, 0-4. Were we surprised? No.
Sam Darnold's going to be a Steeler. Just look. They're going to trade into Pittsburgh. He's going to break out.
You can have him. I don't want him. I mean, Tony, you know this. You know I hate Darnold.
Like from the eye test?
I don't like him. I think Darnold. You could have him. Do you want Sam Darnold?
Do I want him?
Yeah.
I haven't really watched him play, but I don't know. I feel like since we won't get a good draft pick, I mean, we could just trade a fourth round for him and that'd be fine with me. Because, look, we don't have anyone for the future. Like, who's going to back up? Who's going to replace Ben? Mason Rudolph? Please. I'll never have him on my team. He's
Mason Rudolph versus Myles Garrett?
Yeah, he got fucked up.
Man, like, I'll tell you this, though. So Sam is out for Sunday with the shoulder issue, which I still don't understand what the Jets were doing there. Or the referees. I mean, the kid was slammed down for a sack. Don't know how that's not rough. Don't know how that was not roughing the passer. I'm talking about the game last Thursday against Denver. Yep. Sam was thrown down on his shoulder. You clearly see he was hurt. They take him out for some time. And then all of a sudden, they bring him back into the game. Now, I know that the game was close, but I mean, come on. Like, that's your franchise, man. Like, if you know that his shoulder's banged up on his throwing arm,
yeah,
you got to be kidding me.
They said it could have been career-altering.
Yeah. On a throwing shoulder? It definitely. So, he's out for Sunday.
Yeah, Joe Flacco is our starting QB this Sunday.
Joe Flacco starting, and here's another thing, too. I don't
watch him twice a year. He's garbage.
But here's the thing, too, that people got to understand. Franchise quarterbacks should be durable. Sam Darnold has not been durable in his first 3 years. His first year, he was hurt, and he missed I think 4 or 5 games. Last year was the mono, which took him out for a couple of weeks, which really wrecked the Jets season. And this year, now he has the shoulder injury, which I know wasn't his fault, but like this guy really isn't helping his case. He had what, Max, like three picks last Thursday?
Yep.
Three picks. There's talent there, but it's so hard to get behind him. Because it's like when he plays, you always have to debate if it's the people around him, or it's the play calling, or he's just not playing at all, either through injury or getting sick. Like, it's really, really tough. And now you have Joe Flacco, who is a former Super Bowl champion. Joe Flacco has really never been anything like special. Yes, he has a ring. He won a championship with the Ravens many years ago. But he went to Denver. I think he went to Denver, didn't do anything, was bad, signs up with the Jets to be the backup. Now here he is starting on Sunday against Arizona. And what is, I'll tell you this. Could they win the game? With Joe Flacco, you really don't know, because Joe Flacco can be successful. Can he work with a team that
is in shambles and has no number one target?
Now, I'll tell you this. Le'Veon Bell has been cleared for practice. So he could be cleared for Sunday. Sunday is week 5. That's exactly what we predicted. Bell back in week 5. I think Perriman should be coming back this Sunday. You have Crowder. If you have Joe Flacco with some weapons on the field, maybe you can win. Now the problem is that the defense is going up against Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins.
And DeAndre Hopkins is going to be torching that defense, left and right.
Yep. That's what's scary. I don't think they're going to win. But
imagine if the Jets pull out that win and it's with Joe Flacco. You could see it now, and then everyone with the tie turns, all you start seeing in the papers is Joe Flacco the answer?
Yeah, that's what they did to Nick Foles, and he had a shit game.
I remember
a lot of those backups, you know, they're very erratic. They have one good game, then they flunk. and it's like the never-ending cycle.
Him, Fitzpatrick. Give you the perfect example. Ryan Fitzpatrick for the Jets came in because Geno Smith was punched in the jaw, received that broken jaw. Hilarious. Fitzpatrick comes in 2-0. Then he loses against the Eagles. Then goes on a big winning streak. They end up finishing the season 10-6 when it should have really been 11-5. Yeah, that should have been
playoffs that year, right?
Yeah, no.
That was 2015, right? Yeah. He lost to Buffalo that game, right?
It angers me ever since that game. They should have won that game. They should have went to the playoffs. Brandon Marshall was having a career year, as well as Fitzpatrick was having a career year, and they just blew it. They weren't prepared. Fitzpatrick choked, picked Patrick, threw three interceptions that game, one in the end zone that really pissed me off. But that's what happened.
Didn't the Jets a couple of years ago have like Bryce Petty come in like during a game and he was like really good? Like, didn't that happen?
I think like, it was against the Colts. He came in and scored a touchdown.
Yeah, something like that. Like, this has always been like the Jets' problem. It's like now we're going to be looking so hard at Joe Flacco. It's like Joe Flacco is not even close to the future of this team. I saw some stuff on like social media where people were vouching for recent draft pick James Morgan. Remember that quarterback they drafted? I think it was the fourth or fifth round, James Morgan.
Yeah.
They're vouching for him to start on Sunday. A young kid. He was definitely a late round pick. So like, because people want to see if a young kid can go out and play well against an NFL defense, first time playing ever, because there was no
preseason, really.
There was no preseason. And people just don't want to like be stuck with like another veteran quarterback that's not going to be here for like 3 years, like Ryan Fitzpatrick or Josh McCown. Like, and as Jet fans, I completely understand, because here you have Sam Darnold, who is 23 years old or 22, somewhere around there, really young, and we're already questioning whether he's even like the guy. And it's a question of like decisions on the field and durability, because I'm telling you, dude, he has not pulled out a full season yet. His first three seasons have been incomplete.
And from what I've seen from him, he's shaky. He's too erratic. He'll have that great play, like he threw that touchdown. What game was that? What was it?
Just the Niners, right?
It was the game after that. Who did they play after the Niners? Who was it?
The Colts.
Remember, he threw that nice touchdown. He escaped the defensive pressure, threw that nice first touchdown. Then he throws the interception.
No, he threw the interception.
Yep, that was a pick six.
And then he did that great drive where he avoided all those sack attempts. Yep, that's and he did it, and he did it again against the Broncos. Remember that
49-yard run for a touchdown.
So Darnold always kind of has that one play up his sleeve. But you got to understand, and I told my friend this too while we were watching, that's all scripted. That's all during practice. Like, that's not in Sam's head. That's all practiced like days in advance. And that's on Gase too, you know. That's on the coach. But I just like, if the Jets somehow sneak out a win against the Cardinals on Sunday, that is going to think, I think that's going to be worse than if they lose, for many reasons. Number one, because it instills confidence, even more confidence in Gase. Ha! We don't need any more of that. Number two, you are lowering your chances of getting that number one pick. Like, with each win that you want to get, the less of a chance you will have of getting that first pick. That's already two reasons. And number three, like I said, you're going to start questioning who your quarterback is. It's just the truth. Like, Joe Flacco was bad in Denver. His career is pretty much done. He's in the twilight of his career. But if he goes out there and, you know, throws for, I don't know, 225, 240, throws for like two touchdowns, no picks, is not shaky, and, you know, they may win by like a field goal or so, or even if they like lose by like 3 points or one touchdown, that could be so detrimental to Darnold. It's really like crazy.
I've been telling you, man, I said that to you. I said, Darnold is not the answer to this team. He's not. I just don't see it. You see the other quarterbacks in the league. You see Kyler Murray. He's taking that next step. You see Joe Burrow. Right out of the draft, he's performing very well.
His team's trash.
His team is terrible, but you see his performance there. And that's what I said to Pavena. I want a QB like Aaron Rodgers, and the reason why Aaron Rodgers is such a great QB is because he makes everyone good around him, no matter what. And he doesn't have too many people. Devontae Adams, who's injured, he doesn't have that many players. The quarterback should make the team better. It shouldn't be the players around you make the quarterback better. That's Fitzpatrick. The players around Fitzpatrick make him better. Sam Darnold, I don't see anything that where he makes the players on the Jets roster better. I don't see it at all. He's not the guy. Ben Roethlisberger, he is your Steeler fan. He works whatever he has. Lost AB. He was able to go right in there and keep doing what he's been doing.
Well, I think it tells you more about the system and the team's culture, if anything. Like, you see these teams, they have a great culture. They have a great coaching staff. You go to the Jets, it's a shit show, to be honest.
Gaze. Adam Gaze.
I'll tell you this.
What? Lived on what? How much money per year? 20-something?
Yeah, pretty much.
I couldn't tell you.
Come on.
Can't stand them, man. I hate them.
And I think that they're still paying Bowles.
They're still paying Bowles.
I think. Or they're still paying what's his name?
He's in Tampa now. GM. Right?
McCagnan.
Mike McCagnan.
They're still paying him. So they've got a lot of, like, you know, that's also what happens when you fire like front office people or head coaches before the contract's up. But this is also something that's really like sad too. There would never be a chance in hell that a guy like Mike Tomlin would ever coach the New York Jets. You know, like I've got friends that are telling me, oh, like Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, I heard that he wants to jump to pro. It's like, maybe he'll go to the Jets. It's like, that is never going to be close to happening. First off, Dabo Sweeney is a god at Clemson. He's practically like Nick Saban is, just a godlike figure. He's a multiple-time national champion. He has great players, an incredible culture, a great payday every year, plus incentives. He's got recruitment classes that are set up for like the next like decade. Why would he ever leave that situation to go to the Jets?
Why would you want to turn a dream into a nightmare?
Yeah. Like, why would you want to leave like a big time VP job at some big corporation to go work at like, I don't know, like Target or something? It's like, And that's not like a knock on Target, but like there's a difference in like in work value.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the Jets, I feel, in terms of coaching, they need to catch lightning in a bottle and luck out on some sort of coordinator. And I think that's Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. Eric Bieniemy was out there interviewing. He could have been hired, but no, they had to go for Adam Gase.
In which no one wanted. No fan wanted. No sports commentator wanted.
Now, I will say
no one wanted him. The players hate him.
I'll say this, Max. Everybody was going crazy for what's his name? Mike McCarthy.
He's not doing well with the Cowboys.
Teams 1-3. They are an onside kick away from going 0-4. Now, should that be on the coach? I think, yeah. A part of it, Dallas's defense is also hot garbage.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Like, do you think that the Jets may have did right by not going after Mike McCarthy? Like,
I don't think so. Gase is worse. There's no one worse than Gase.
Now, I'm not saying that they made the right decision for Gase. I'm saying, did they make the right decision by not signing Mike McCarthy to be the coach?
I don't know. If it's just between Gase and Mike McCarthy, you got to go Mike McCarthy. Say if it was just between those two candidates, you got to go with Mike McCarthy.
Because here's the thing.
Here's the Super Bowl. But yeah. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers was prime. So
here's the thing. Mike McCarthy is coaching a team that has millions of miles ahead of talent that the Jets do. But they are 1-3, close to being 0-4. If Mike McCarthy was – Yeah. If Mike McCarthy was with the Jets and everything still happened the way that it did right now, are we blaming the coach or are we blaming it on the lack of talent? Like, I think it's like I think it's two different things. It's apples and oranges. You know what I'm saying?
The quarterback whisperer.
Yeah, the quarterback whisperer. Yeah. But let's close out this show. We got a couple minutes left on the whole Knicks thing because I know that like we have like a lot with the Knicks.
And I'll report as it was breaking news Tuesday, supposedly.
It's a rumor. It's a rumor. It's nothing like confirmed.
Nothing in stone yet.
We go through this every year about these rumors, and honestly, I'm sick and tired of them.
The guy has a blue check mark. So that's why that's why people went crazy. The guy's a blue check mark.
So it was reported that the Knicks are putting a package deal together, supposedly consisting of Kevin Knox, Frank Ntilikina, the French Prince, the great French Prince, and a bunch of draft picks for Chris Paul.
To get who? To get Chris Paul. Keenan, I got to know your first reaction to that.
Dude, we're getting rid of Knox.
I'm glad that we'd get rid of him. No, that guy's
garbage. I like Frank, though, but if we want to improve this team and attract star players, we should do that. And what? What pick we can give up? The Clippers pick or the Mavericks pick? It's really nothing.
Yeah, if the Knicks can't trade up and get LaMelo Ball, I'm really for trading it.
I'm not trading our eighth pick. We can draft someone younger for it to be his replacement. But I want to trade one of those other teams' picks, the Dallas pick.
I think that's what the Knicks need to do. We need to start somewhere.
Yeah.
It's not hurting us in any way.
No,
Kevin Knox has proven to be garbage. He's got the worst.
One of the worst players in the league.
Player average in the league. Yeah, he's like the worst player in the league. Frank Ntilikina really hasn't showed me any signs. I know he's great defensively, but you really haven't seen anything, and that's a lot on the Knicks. They haven't developed their players at all. But this trade doesn't really hurt the Knicks. I get that we have to take on a big contract, but in my mind, it really doesn't hurt the Knicks. They do have to supply Chris Paul with great pieces, though. This can't be the only thing they do. Chris Paul is the number one guy. Chris Paul can't be the number one guy for this team.
No.
Absolutely not. He's 35 years old. I agree to the fact a little bit. I agree partially that this doesn't hurt the Knicks. But you got to understand, once again, they're going for the big fish when the big fish is not meant to be had. And I just don't like under – like, is this supposed to be – like, is this supposed to be like – competing for the 8th seed now? So now we're going back to the...
I'm buying a Chris Paul jersey. I don't care.
I've been watching Chris Paul jersey.
I've been waiting for this moment for 12 years. You know, I want a Chris Paul jersey.
That's why they're trading for him. They want those extra merch dollars.
Well, I don't know if they're just doing this or it's going to be another T-Mac situation where he's a fucking bum, you know, at the end of his career.
He could be.
Typical Knicks, or he's going to be really good, like 2012 Jason Kidd.
Dude.
2012 Jason Kidd was nice. Then he went on that cold streak.
Yeah, then he got a DUI.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know what Chris Paul – the Knicks are going to get if this does happen. But the thing is like, I told you this, if they get Chris Paul, they need to draft a point guard.
That's what I'm saying.
That's essential.
Because you can't be banking on Chris Paul to play for you for like the next 5 years, because I'm telling you, he'll be out in two.
Which yeah, that's what I'm saying. I said, I'm only giving Chris Paul 2 years here.
Then he got a player option, right?
Yeah.
21.
He's still on whose contract? The Rockets contract?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was what?
2018? Right. Or 2017. So four years ago?
How long was the contract? 5 years?
4 or 5 years, yeah.
So oh, okay.
His third year with the contract.
All right, so that's like 2021.
Then he has a player option to follow.
Yeah. So, listen, this team last year was banking on adding two big max contracts. They got none. They signed a bunch of bums to 1 year.
Power forwards.
Yeah, a bunch of power
forwards. Four power forwards.
And they're bringing in their max player, apparently, by this rumor, with a trade that – 8 seed at best, man. Like, and that's like a first round exit. Like, is this what like we play for now? I mean, like,
I'm gonna name a few names. I was reading online Nick trade targets that it was kind of interesting.
Alrighty.
Oh, cool.
Paul George.
I'm one of those trash. You had to give up RJ Barrett for him.
Yeah, I was reading these trade targets. They have Paul George, Oladipo.
Way off the beat.
Karl Anthony Towns.
He's soft.
Joel Embiid.
What?
He's always hurt. I don't like him either.
Yo, like, who are the assets that are going to these teams to get Robinson these? You're the young core.
The young core. The thing that I think makes the Knicks attractive is the amount of first-round draft picks they have. They have a lot because of the Porzingis trade. They got a lot of first round draft picks out of that.
I guess, yeah.
And I'm for it. I'm for it. Like if you want to bring in a great player, it depends where the position is, what position the Knicks have in the draft. That's when you trade the pick. Like the eighth pick, Pavetta. Say if Cole Anthony and LaMelo Ball aren't at that eighth pick for the Knicks this year's draft.
Yeah.
If I'm the Knicks, I'm trading that away to see if I can get a great player. Putting that in a package deal for a great player. Not a bum, like, a great player.
You can't get a great player with an eighth pick.
You'd probably have to trade that, your second round pick.
I don't
know what player. Apparently Kevin Knox has a lot of trade value. Yeah, that's what I've been reading online. I don't know how he does, but I've been reading that in multiple sports reports.
He's a 6'10 wing. He's basically a baby Paul George, but he just hasn't had the right development yet. That's the potential that team's like. Because this whole league now is a 3-and-D league. Wings are valued.
Yeah.
You know.
If you're the Knicks, who do you bring in this offseason? They said that they're planning to make big moves, and a lot of them. And they need to, because this team is terrible. When you can't even name or think of the great players on this team past RJ and Robinson, that's a problem.
And the fact is that the Eastern Conference really isn't that good.
No.
I mean, who do you have? You have the Bucks.
The Heat, the Celtics.
Bucks, the Heat.
Toronto.
The Celtics. That's three. Brooklyn, if everything goes right. The Pacers are pretty good. So that's five. You still have three more spots there.
The Raptors?
The Raptors, yeah. So,
even though they're freaking garbage.
But how much longer is, like, someone like – because I think Fred Van Fleet's gonna walk somewhere. He's going to go in free agency. I'm not saying it's wide – it's not wide open, but the eighth spot and the – and even, like, the seventh spot are open in the Eastern Conference.
Even Atlanta's getting better.
Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trae Young, absolutely.
DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish. That's a really, you know, and they got Clint Capella too. It's very interesting.
That's true.
And the Knicks can't get any great players, no matter what they do.
But see, like, I thought that Leon Rose was brought here to, like, develop, like, a team to, like, do, like, the draft and not put up the nonsense of, like, we're going to wait for the next great player to be on the free agent market. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. Like, are they hoping that, like, trading for Chris Paul is going to entice Giannis to go there or something? Like, is that, like, what they're planning? They can't be doing that again.
Yeah, like, no, they can't do that. They really need to trade up in this year's draft. That's it.
Would you trade for Booker?
Devin Booker?
Because Leon Rose has connections to him, right?
I would trade for him.
I would too. What would
you give up, though? Barrett? And the eighth pick? Give up for him, though.
If they were offering RJ Barrett in the eighth pick, I would do it.
Yeah, I would.
Because if you kept Mitchell Robinson, like, then like, all you'd have to do is work the cap so that you're opening up a max slot, yeah, and maybe take a chance again to see if another great player wants to, like, come here. But you gotta have, like, a legitimate star. And if you trade it for Devin Booker, a top point guard in the sport,
it's attractive.
It's very attractive. It wasn't attractive when it was Kyrie and KD on the market, or when LeBron was on the market. It just wasn't.
Maybe if they had kept Porzingis, they would have gotten.
That's what I was saying. They should have never got rid of Porzingis. We know the story. And when Frank Isola and Pavetta tuned in, he told me the story. He didn't want to leave. The Knicks forced him out. They had a deal in place already.
Yeah, no, see, that's where they messed up. If they kept – I would have rather have KD. Well, I don't know, then he got hurt, than Kyrie, to be honest, but – KD and Kristaps on the same team is scary. 2 7-foot, you know, stretch forwards that can shoot the three, it's over.
And DeAndre Jordan. I mean, DeAndre Jordan, dude. I mean, Max, I told you this. DeAndre Jordan practically orchestrated the whole KD and Kyrie to Brooklyn thing.
Yeah, we thank him very much and glad he's off the team.
DeAndre was on the Knicks and he saw that he wasn't getting played and practically, like, relayed the message to Kyrie and KD. It's like, don't freaking come here. Look at how they treated me. I mean, it's just,
it's not top five talent though.
That's the thing. Like, he's not what he once was, but all these players are friends.
Yeah,
they are. GMs have to, like, understand that.
Yeah. It was
100%. Awesome. All right, guys. Are you ready to wrap this up here?
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready to wrap this up, but the Knicks just have to make that right deal. We'll keep reporting on that weekly. And you want to give them your socials, Pavetta?
Yep. So my Instagram is at TANOOCH96. Once again, Instagram is at TANOOCH96.
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Real Max, TheReelMax. Once again, TheReelMax. You can check out all of our previous episodes on my website, maxrcoughlin.com, maxrcoughlin.com under shows, Tony and Mad Max. We have changed the name of our show, the Tony and Mad Max Variety Podcast, as you, everyone knows who's been tuned in now. You can check the YouTube channel out, Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max. You'll see all the episodes loaded there as well, Tony and Mad Max. And that's pretty much it. Keenan, you're next up as the special guest for this week.
Yep, of course. My Instagram is KEENAN underscore W. That's KEENAN underscore W.
And there you have it. And you're always welcome. We want to thank you for joining the pod today.
Thank you for letting me come on.
Absolutely, man.
We should imagine if we brought on like 10 people.
Yeah,
that's cool. A lot.
Or a three-way podcast.
Three-way. We could bring probably more. I know Jordan might want to come on. Donnie, he might want to come on.
What about Donnie?
Oh, he would.
Donnie would probably want to come on, Tony.
Mm. Absolutely. Bring him on if you want. Bring him on.
Yeah. Just make this awesome. Like a big thing, though. And you could say the final word, Tony.
All right. So thank you guys for tuning in today for this Thursday. Don't forget. Jets and Cardinals this Sunday.
0-5.
We'll see. So enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy your weekend, everybody. So long.
So long.